Good evening and welcome to today's edition of Agar Meditation. We have connected after considerably a long gap. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you who prayed for my recovery. For those of you who didn't know what was happening, I had been to Gujarat and via a gift from someone, I got affected with pneumonia. And yes, now I am good and well. Thank you very much. So today's edition primarily is to do with resilience. I did not understand until I started responding to the messages that even a simple word like resilience can be misunderstood, can be misplaced in one's vocabulary. As human beings, so without classification of any geographical boundary or any gender, as human beings, we have learned to tolerate, to resist, but we have not understood how to be resolute, how to be resilient. This is one of the reasons why many of us are sick. This is why a lot of women get cancers of the breast or ovaries. A lot of men get cancers of the prostate, cancers of the stomach, brain tumors. They all come from resisting, from tolerating. They all come from holding back your frustrations, your irritations, agitations. It's for this very reason to be resilient that every week I was teaching you or helping you practice the Maypole. So what does it exactly mean to be resilient? And why one must not resist? Look, people out there do not know. They do not know what it means to suffer. For them, suffering is personal. For them, they are suffering and they just need to get rid of their suffering, even if it means at the cost of your suffering. For them, it means nothing. They just need to get rid of their suffering. Anybody who's working in a government office will be able to understand this. The people who come to them believe that they are the only ones in this whole world who is having a problem. And their problem has to be solved first, at all costs. And they don't care. Even people who go to doctors believe that doctors must not have problems. They believe that their problem is the only problem. So, resilience actually means to be able to look beyond how a person, he or she, expresses themselves. The ability to look beyond, which means that you do not identify with how they say what they say. I've been repeating this over and over, that you must not identify with how a person says what he or she says. When they say that I have a problem, and when they bring in their tears, and when they make their face, they warp their face in such a way that it makes you see the grimmest of their life. Even then, you should be able to look beyond it. Suffering does not have to be expressed. Suffering is visible. When a person is really hungry, you can tell in a traffic signal, when people come asking you for money, you can tell the one who is hungry from the one who is not. Because at some point in time, we all have been hungry and have not had the luxury of having a meal when the body is expressing hunger. It has got nothing to do with your power, position, hunger is natural to every human and every creature that is living on this planet. But for us, when hunger strikes, we are the only creature on this planet who choose to ignore it, who choose to tolerate hunger. So you are able to tell. At times, you would probably buy a meal to a person because he or she is absolutely hungry. At times, you would not even share a penny or share a rupee with a person because you believe that this person does not deserve it, because he or she only wants to beg. That resilience is an attitude to be able to stand firm without being moved by how other people choose to behave. Whether even when people are adverse, even when people are arrogant, when people are arrogant on your face. For example, if you go to the northern part of India, they will question you on your face. Aap kya kar loge? What will you do? Let me see. They will question you on your face. But if you give in to that questioning, then you will end up with a migraine. But what do you do? You must be able to look at that person in the face and not be moved. That is called resilience. The same thing goes in traffic, same thing goes in family, same thing goes in a wedding. So wherever you are, resilience is one thing that must be practiced at all times. Resilience is not a selective practice. It is the only practice that you will need, because if you resist or tolerate others' frustrations, others' anger, others' irritations and agitations, or if you're going to control your own anger, either ways, you are going to be sick. You're going to be first mentally sick, and then it will translate into physical sickness. So if you believe that you want to be well, then you must learn and practice to be resilient. And that's why the maypole comes in handy. That every time someone begins a tantrum, immediately hold on to the ribbon. Connect to the maypole. Ask your higher consciousness to send to you relaxing energies, healing energies, cleansing and purifying energies, strengthening energies, unconditional love. Do it over and over again. If that conversation is going to be long, let's say an hour, the person just is not tired of expressing themselves, then do this practice over and over and over again until the person is done. And there is, and what will happen? You would just stand still like a bamboo. The example which I gave, you just be standing tall. All the wind will lash across the bamboo. All the rains will lash across it, but you will stay unmoved. That's what you need to practice. But it appears that from today's communication in the group, that you have just allowed this word to pass. How much attention have you really paid to yourself? Why do you want to continue to tolerate? Why do you want to correct others? Why are you so uncomfortable with other people's behavior that you want to correct others? Why are you tolerating other people's behavior? And that's why the practices are being suggested, that you just need to be rooted in your own self. You can suggest other people whether what they are doing is right or wrong when you believe and when you are sure that what they are doing is not in their best interest. But you cannot interfere. You cannot assume that what they are doing is wrong, and you cannot advise them for sure. And that's why we practice the maypole. All right? So today, I thought instead of having the meditation, we'll just have this clarity session. This is absolutely necessary. You do the maypole, and then you go there and fight a warrior's battle. There's no sense. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to get some power from the divine that you can use to fight your battles? What are you trying to do? So why are we practicing what we are practicing? Is it because we want to have more energy to fight? What's the reason that you are not being resilient? What is the reason that you are tolerating and resisting? Why do you want to have these battle scars? So I want to have some clarity here from you and for you, so that you can be sure on how to continue your day-to-day interactions and transactions. Are there any questions? Are you all clear? Yes, Shilpa.
Doc, if I can ask you on a slightly personal level, you have attained so much clarity in life.
I don't need any clarity. I've just worked on myself. I see the glass that much clearer.
Okay, Doc. Whatever, however we define it. Fine. Yes, but
no, don't put me on a pedestal. I have not attained anything. I have just worked on myself, and that's exactly what I'm asking you to do. Okay, please continue now.
Yes, Doc. So after all your years effort of working on yourself, you are at a level where you can understand all this more easily than most of us who are just barely scratching the surface. So this is very personal to me. I'm, like I said, I'm barely scratching the surface, and there is so much. I had even sent you a message, I think, a couple of days ago. It's coming to me overwhelmingly. Like, you know, it's like as if I can see that, you know, these are the things that they're not right for me, and I'm working on my discipline. And then when I see my family, whoever it is, who is not following any discipline, barely any discipline in
don't stop, stop your judgments. Stop your judgments. This is the problem. This is what is called a spiritual ego. That when you believe that you are better, that's your problem.
No, no, Doc. I don't think I'm better.
You just said it.
No.
You just said it. They're not practicing any discipline. Look. Please understand one thing. The only thing that I've understood all these years is that there is nothing to understand. Everybody has their method, and you have no clue which method will take you to God. You follow yours, allow them to follow theirs. Just stop interfering in other people's lives, especially adults. Possible?
Yes, Doc.
That's all.
Thank you.
Follow yourself. Stop looking at other people's life. If you find a problem in someone, you're looking at your own reflection. You're not okay with something inside you, which is why looking at them is unsettling for you. It's because there's something unsettling inside you. Work on that. Dr. Janardhan.
Namaskar, sir.
Namaskar.
Sir, as a reaction to somebody's response, so if we cannot able to tolerate or resist, then how we should take it? Like, with an example, can you just elaborate on this, sir?
Let's say, for example, someone says that, okay, let me give you a real life example. I was going to a wedding, and this person just stopped, just came in my way and stopped the car. I looked at him and I asked, and he just turned off the engine. When I looked at him and I asked him what happened, he just turned off the engine. He was furious. Furious for what? I have no clue. So I walked up to him and I said, I think you haven't had a good day. Can you please reverse? And he retorted in my same tone, saying that, I think you haven't had a good day. I'm not going to move my car. And when you don't connect to these statements, you find it very funny. You know, it is like watching a you know, one of these old Hindi movies where you have these dance sequence, you turn off the audio completely, look at the dance, you look like two jokers dancing, right? So that's what it looks like. So if you, when there is music, you feel like there is dance and there are steps and there is some, you know, symmetry and all that. And there are some taal and all that. But if you turn the audio off and you see the hero and heroine dancing, you just feel like two jokers who are just moving their arms and legs. And that's exactly what resilience is like. Take out the meaning out of what they're doing. So I just couldn't connect to what he was saying because I simply refused to participate.
Okay.
So I'll give you another experience. So there was this guy who my brother one day called me and he told me that he had dropped his phone. And he said he called his own number from after reaching home and somebody picked the phone and said that you'll have to pay me 1500 rupees if you want your phone back. My brother said, I don't care about the instrument, but I need the data, the numbers that are there in the phone. So I called my brother's phone and somebody answered. He gave me a location. I went there. Just before reaching there, I connected with my higher consciousness and it said that, go ask him. The moment you go there, ask him, you want to sell my phone to me. Is this all right? So I just went there and the person asked me, have you brought the money? And so I simply refused to participate in that conversation. I refused to answer that question. So I asked him, you want to sell my phone to me? Is this all right? He just handed over the phone to me. As simple as that. All right? So whenever you have such conversations, there are personal conversations where, for example, I have people in my family who are not in my immediate family, but in my extended family, I have people who are very vocal or very loud in their talking and they believe that they are right and everybody else is wrong. And when such people call me and they start shouting on the phone, I tell them, I'm sorry, I'm not going to participate in this conversation. I'm going to cut the call, and I cut the call.
Okay.
I do that with every single marketing call that I get on the phone. I ask them, are you going to cut the call or shall I cut the call? I don't get offended. I don't get upset. I don't get worked up with the number of the numerous calls, marketing calls that I get. I just ask them, are you going to cut the call or should I cut the call? So practice resilience. Every time it's an opportunity to practice resilience.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, Shilpa? Why only Shilpa has questions? Why nobody else has questions?
Doug, just a thing on what you were saying, that when you get marketing calls, you take the call and ask them whether they will cut the call or you will cut the call. Why go till there? Why not just ignore the call? Why spend that?
I don't know it's a marketing call until I receive it.
Okay. You get many unknown numbers. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Doc. Thank you.
Okay. I have a question here. So how do I stop people go on and on about their problems and vent to me? Why listen? So why do you want to listen? So if people are going on talking about their problems, they can go on and talk about their problems. Just divert your attention. Don't resist, divert your attention and say, I'm sorry, I'm not listening. You have to say it on your face. Do you matter to you? If you matter to you, then you have to tell them on their face, I'm sorry, I'm not listening. Have to say it. It's not, so when you say you don't want to, don't say you don't want to listen. Tell them you are not listening. I don't want to listen is future tense. I am not listening is present continuous tense. Tell them I am not listening. Okay? And you think you're selfish? No, you're not selfish. This is self-respect. If they want to talk about the problems, you can do one thing. You can just look up counselor numbers, have them handy, and you can just tell them, here's a counselor, you can talk to this person. All right? If you feel that you are not, you don't want to be selfish, then you can say, here's a counselor, you can talk to this person. I'm not the person you should be talking to. All right? Yes, Dishana, you had raised your hand. Oh, you left the meeting. Mr. Hari Kumar.
Sir, I want to discuss a case where this is with my own children. Okay. There is a time-bound activity in the sense, let us say there is an examination or there is a preparation for a course which is going to happen. And the child, you find that his you can see that during his time, he's not focusing on the time on the regular time intervals, and time and again you tell that is not happening. So it leads to a lot of the debates between saying that let us say he asks for a break for 1 hour, he takes 2 hours, and again you start getting into an argument with the kid. This predominantly happens because my wife is staying away, I'm not here. So she keeps telling me this complete story of what happened during the day, how it has happened and what fights, and then not listening and all this thing. So point is, you know, as an adult, that there, if you don't put in so much of effort, you will not get the desired result. Even then, would you say be resilient, ignore that it is his karma that if he does not study, he will fail? Or there is one attempt that I keep telling you, make your effort, and beyond that, if he does not see it is his problem. But is that right as a parent, that you just leave it there, or you really go and tell them? That is where you become, maybe, I don't know, are we judgmental, becoming judgmental, saying that you don't study? And sometimes, because of which, they bolt the door and then sit inside saying that I'm studying. Then the doubt comes whether he's studying, he's not studying. These are some of the problems that I face, sir.
How old is the child?
A teenage, sir, about 17 years.
17 years. What is the objective of studying?
Preparation for his engineering examination.
Okay. Are you an engineer?
No, sir. I'm a chartered accountant.
You're a chartered accountant. Now, does your son want to become an engineer?
Yes, sir.
So, whose dream is it?
His dream. We keep asking, if you are not interested in this course, please tell what are you interested. Is it BBA? Anything you want to do, you
do. See, unless preparation should always be to accomplish an objective. Preparation should not be blind. Today, what's happening is children are studying not because they have a dream. Children are studying to get what they can. If I study well, then I can study engineering. If I can study better, then I can become a doctor. And if I study even better, then I will get a college near my home. And if I can study even better, I'll probably get a government seat. And if I can study even better, I'll get an IIT. Now, what is the objective of all of these? Those people who are very strongly driven towards IIT also do not have a dream. Then what are you studying for? So where will your son draw determination from? Where will he draw that determination to sit that many hours to study? Why should he study? He does not have a dream. This is common to all of us. If I have to conduct this session Saturday after Saturday with absolutely no outcome in terms of social outcomes, in terms of monetary gains, then what is the reason for me to conduct this session Saturday after Saturday? That's because I have a dream. It's only because I have a dream that I am doing this Saturday after Saturday. I'm going out of the way to do it. All right? So a person has to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, you're not going to put the effort. So you are So you cannot force your son to have a dream. So you are a chartered accountant. Let me ask you this question. Are you happy today doing what you're doing?
Yes, sir.
You're happy doing what you're doing. Today, according to law, your chartered accountant also can be put into the box and called an accomplice.
Yes.
Are you happy after that?
Yes, sir. Actually, I'm not a practicing chartered accountant. I'm while I did my CA, I've moved on to IT, so I'm working as a this one, but I'm happy with whatever.
So don't call yourself a chartered accountant if you're an IT professional.
Okay.
If you're a practicing chartered accountant, you are a chartered accountant. Just because you certified as a chartered accountant doesn't make you a chartered accountant unless you're practicing what you're certified in.
No, that way, no. I'm in IT for the last 17 years.
I'm an IT professional. What is the purpose of studying IT, sir? Of working in this job? What is the objective? Can we have this open discussion?
Yeah, sure, sir. Sure.
Yeah, what is your objective of working in this field?
To be very honest, sir, when I started working, it was more of I come with a very humble background. At that time, it was survival, basically how to do it. And then post that, with God's grace, everything went well. I'm in a good position. So it just progressed in life. And I've been able to move up the ladder. So that way, I'm quite satisfied with what I've achieved over the years. But if you very frankly ask me, did I pitch myself to be X or Y when I started off my career in this thing? The answer was no, sir.
Fine. So let me ask you this question. Since you have answered me, I'm sure you would have brought these conversations, the way you communicate with your son. You would have told how difficult your circumstances were, how much you struggled. Did you do all that?
Yes, sir.
Who cares? Sir, you have brought your son up in a way that he does not have to struggle at all.
That's true, sir.
Then why are you telling these stories to him?
Just to impress upon that they should not get into.
Sorry to cut you. What impress upon? You are, on one hand, you are giving him a silver spoon for him to eat with. On the other hand, you're questioning him, do you know the value of this silver spoon? Why should he know the value of a silver spoon? Did he ask for it? You gave it. And now you want to question him, asking him the value of that spoon that he's holding. No, I want you to hold a golden spoon. The son says, I never asked a silver spoon. Why you want me to hold a golden spoon? I'm okay to eat without the spoon also. You are the one giving me a plate, giving me a silver spoon, feeding me four times a day. You are the one who's filling me with luxuries, filling me with this. You are the one who has given me this beautiful sofa to lie down on. You are to recline on. You are the one who's given me this fantastic bed to lie on, this cot. Did I ask for anything? No, I didn't ask. You've given me all this. Now you tell me, I want you to do better than me. No, sorry, I'm not taking you as a standard. So if you are not going to help your children find their value in this life, they are not going to put the effort that you are wanting them to put. They do not understand the value of their existence. It has come too easy, too cheap. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So don't send him in a car. Ask him to get a local transport.
Yes, sir. That way, to be very honest, we have not spoiled the kids. Whatever is the normal, common mode of transport, that is what just to give you as an example, that's what we follow also. It's not that, listen, but you ask me, what is his dream? Actually, his dream is to become an entrepreneur.
The dream to become an entrepreneur, that's not called a dream. Today's kids don't know what they are talking. All people, they want to become entrepreneurs. What does it mean to become entrepreneur? They all want to become Jack Ma. I don't know anything. I'm going to hire a bunch of professionals who have cracked the IIT. I'm going to give them a problem to solve, and I'm going to sit and count my money. But Jack Ma has not spoken about his foundation years. So first of all, to become an entrepreneur, first you have to understand what it means to be an employee. You must understand everything that goes in an organization. You must be the sweeper. You must be the guard. You must be the cashier. You must be the accountant. You must be the software engineer. You must be everything A to Z. Unless you understand every single role, you will not understand the value associated with every single job. Isn't it?
Correct.
Huh. So, if you do not communicate to your son this way, resilience means to be able to communicate to your son without getting affected by the way he chooses to execute his day. Okay? What you can do, simple things what you can do. Tell me, what have you done from morning that qualifies you to have breakfast? Every day, ask this question. Tell me, what have you done from breakfast until lunch that qualifies you to have lunch? Now, you bring in your own marks. I'm not going to put the marks. You are going to put your own marks. You have to be brutally honest with yourself, because tomorrow life is going to question you. If you are not going to tighten the screws, you're not going to get your thali. Right? As a father, you're not permanently going to exist to see the finality of his life. You're going to die before him. He's going to live after you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh. So who is going to take care of him after you're gone? So from today, you ask him, what did you do from morning till breakfast time that qualifies you to have breakfast? What did you do the whole day that qualifies you to have dinner? We are eating breakfast for the day, and then we have lunch for the day, and then we have an evening tiffin for the night, and then we have dinner until next morning. Why do we eat so much? It's only because we are not content. What is it that is taking away our contentment? Our habitual laziness, habitual boredom. And so you have to drive that out. For that, you need a dream. And you must question yourself, how many strides have I taken towards my dream that I will eat my breakfast? If I have not done it, let me go finish that and come, and then have my breakfast. Let me put that qualification to myself that I have the qualification that is required for me to have my meal today. Or else I will deny to myself that meal. Unless your son makes that a habit, he cannot come up in life, because he's come up with too many luxuries. He's got a beautiful couch to recline on. He's got a beautiful bed, an AC in his room. And he has his mother to wake him up in the morning. Right? With so many luxuries surrounding you, why would you want to put any effort? Do you understand the problem?
Yeah.
We are the problem that we have created for our children. We have to correct it. So that resilience comes by giving advice without getting affected by how he chooses to take his decisions. If your son says he has a dream, you ask him, so what have you done about your dream? Put it in words, put it in bullet marks. How many strides you have taken towards your dream? How many strides did you take today? Life is not easy. Right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hari Rajeshwari, madam, please unmute. Deeshana, you had raised your hand. You are next. Yes, ma'am.
Doctor, in the example just you gave, if some of your relatives are talking to you loudly and you are not willing to participate in this conversation, you can say that you are not interested, or you can give a psychologist or counselor's number. Mm-hmm. But in other way, it happens to me when I am talking to somebody with a lot of emotions that are going within me, and I try to express myself, and when somebody tells me that, I'm not in a position to take that, and it really shoots up my anger, and it just troubles me for the next couple of days to understand why they have spoken to me like that. So in this situation, how do I handle?
You're talking to the wrong people, first thing. Second thing is that, what is the reason you are emotional?
The incident which happened, or like Hari just explained something, if I talk the same thing to my husband and he tells this to me, I think that it is our, as a family, it's our responsibility together to handle this, and he's trying to ignore me and not even paying attention to me, and my children are also not here listening to me, nor husband is supporting.
Okay, one thing you must understand is that when a person is not content, I'm talking about your husband, when a person is not content, then they feel that their problems alone are problems. Then what happens is that they will talk to you when they have a problem, but they will not listen to you when you have a problem.
Right, I completely agree.
Right, so that means that he's not content with whatever he has, maybe his job, all right? So he will not participate in any of the family affairs. This you must understand in your head. You must have this clarity that your husband is not content. So when a person is not content, he can only be a part of the problem. He cannot be a part of the solution.
Okay.
Right. So yes. When a person is not content, he can only add to your problems. He cannot be a part of the solution. It is so to go and talk to him and asking for his support is actually futile. It's a waste of time, energy, effort. Point number one. Second, your children are super observant. When the children realize that both parents are not vibing at the same frequency, they're not in sync with each other, then they begin to manipulate. They manipulate their parents.
Very true.
All right.
Yes.
Now, what you can do in this situation is, now as a mother, now these are your children. They are so dear to you, and you want the best of the world for them, and you are willing to do whatever it takes that is required on this planet Earth for you to have them have a beautiful life ahead. So, what you can do in this particular situation is that you can start bringing your cards together. You can start from scratch one, from step one from today, saying that I'm going to set an example. I'm going to just set an example of how I need to be. And you can ask your children, have you done your studies today? Just ask your children, have you done your studies today? Now, the reason why I'm asking you to do this, but do not verify whether they are telling the truth or not. Okay, do not verify whether they are telling the truth or not. Ask them, have you studied today? Have you done your prayers today? Have you showered today? Have you pressed your clothes today? So whatever questions you need to ask, excuse me, ask these questions to your children. The reason why you ask these questions to your children, because that is your dharma, that is your responsibility as a mother to guide them. How old are your children?
16 years.
They are adults. Which means that you have to just ask them. That is your way of guiding them. Now, when you don't ask them, their conscience will direct them the right way. So as long as you can just ask them, have you done this? Mom, please stop asking this every day. It's my responsibility to ask you. And it is your responsibility to answer. If you feel that it is not necessary for you to answer, then please don't answer. But I cannot shirk from my responsibility of reminding you of what are the responsibilities that you need to adhere to as an individual. Okay? Fag end of your life, you'll be content that you have asked them all the right questions, you have prepared them, and you have directed them in the right way. You cannot see your children blossom in front of your eyes. Many a times, I've heard this from many parents that the children at home are so irresponsible, as parents put it, they're so irresponsible, they're completely out of sync, they just don't listen to the parents. But when they go to the school, they want to have the help of the teachers, they get to hear entirely a different story. You see, this child takes the whole responsibility of the whole class. He's such a good mentor and he's so good, he's so disciplined. The parents are in for a shock. And the contrary is also true. Where the parent, where the child doesn't talk at home, the parents feel, why don't you at least say, I mean, at least in monosyllables you can respond when I talk to you. The children are so quiet. But in school, they get a complaint that this boy doesn't close his mouth. So children, they have different characterizations, different kind of attitudes that they demonstrate at school, at home. You yourself will see that your children are entirely indifferent to you at home, but you'll see they are super cooperative with their friends.
Okay, doctor.
So
I'll practice this.
Just ask these questions, just follow those guidelines. And that's what resilience means, is to be unaffected by how they choose to do things. You have no idea what life has carved out for them. What we have to do is to only guide them. They have to find their path.
Sure, doctor. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Dishana.
Okay, doctor. The question I had was just a kind of a clarification over the word resilience. My concept of resilience was like being able to conquer anything and everything, but we are to apply to anything and everything, right?
Yes, apply to yourself, not okay. Anything and everything.
How, if the resilience means fighting, does it mean fighting for yourself as well?
No. Resilience has got nothing to do with fighting. Standing up for yourself.
Okay, standing up. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I think maybe can you just again go through the word resilience in a few sentences, if you don't mind?
Resilience simply means to stand firm. To stand firm. Let us say that you're practicing honesty and you're working in a government office. Now your superior, your boss calls you and tells you that why don't you sign on this document and sanction this loan? You're going to say no. Do you know the consequences of denying my authority? Then you can tell him, give it to me in writing. You're not going to be affected by all the threats that are coming from your boss. So give it to me in writing. Now the boss will actually begin to sweat because he cannot give it to you in writing. He says that, you damn it, you're humiliating me. So I'm not humiliating you, sir. I'm sorry. But I can't follow what is not in the law of this office. All right, as simple as that. You're just not going to participate in something which is going to take your harmony out of you. As simple as that. There's nothing to conquer. There's nothing to win. Nothing of that sort. Resilient just means to stand firm. What does a tree have to conquer by standing firm? It doesn't conquer anything, it just stands firm. And it supports the soil bed, it supports the birds, the nests, it supports, gives shelter, gives oxygen. But what is it trying to conquer? Nothing. Which aspect of nature tries to conquer? Nothing. Nature does not conquer. Now, for us, nature is the biggest example. So when nature does not conquer, what are we after? Why do we want to conquer? What is it that we are deficient in that we need to conquer?
Okay, got it.
Right?
I think I need to think a little bit more on the subject as well.
Just understand that you are full. You are complete. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. So there's nothing to accomplish. There's nothing to win. There's nowhere to reach. There's nowhere to arrive. All you have to do is to take out your confusions, take off your notions, your misunderstandings, what you call as understanding. They're all misunderstandings. There's nothing to understand. There's nothing to gain clarity upon. This is the whole of nature is not intellectual. Nature just is. It is resilient. If there is more water, it learns how to live through it. If there is less water, it learns how to live through it. It just finds a way. Resilience has got nothing to do with emotions. It's got nothing to do with your judgments. You just find a way. And you just find a way because it's about you. And if a person goes on, you just stop listening because it's not about you. It's about the other person's blah, blah, blah. So when somebody's going on and on, why would you want to listen? So you are complete. You are everything that you already need to be. So get this notion out of your mind that there is something to understand. There is nothing to understand. You just be. And in that being, you just realize that it's all. There's nothing else. That's what resilience is all about. It is so simple, but it's not easy. It's because you have to get rid of this habit of thinking and doing. This analyzing, thinking, doing, correcting. You have to stop those habits. When you stop doing those things, you will have arrived.
Basically, it's about getting out of the logical mind. Just have to be in the moment and be with
That's
what
all.
You feel as the right thing to do at that time.
Yes.
And not to be judgmental about the other person either.
Yeah, there's no point.
Okay. All right.
But the moment you're judgmental about somebody, you created a problem for yourself. Now you're entangled. You're entangled yourself with your judgment of the other person. The other person doesn't even know that you're judging him or her. Now you're stuck with your judgment.
What happens if you feel that the other person is judging you?
Why should you even feel that way?
Sometimes some people do actually to the face mention that, I am judgmental.
Okay, good for them.
So we just let them be and be with their own judgments.
I mean, why do you even want to care about it?
Okay.
Why do you even want to give a percentage of thought about it?
All right. Okay. Thank you, doctor.
I think you have got too much in your head.
I know. I'm trying to get out of my head.
All right. So, okay, there's a question here. Dr. Mahesh, without judging, I tend to be delusional about potential threats. How do we deal with that? It's not judgment, using the wrong word. You've got to be cautious, which means that when someone tells me, when someone tells me that I will give you this much money, I'll tell them, okay, I'm not excited because the person told me that he's going to give me money. I'm not even eager to know when he's going to give me that money. All right? He said, I'm going to give you that money. He made a statement and I received the statement. It ends there. I'm not making anything out of it. All right? So if the money comes, it comes. It doesn't come, it doesn't come. As simple as that. That's how straight it has to be. All right. So no, we're talking about potential threats. Can you give me an example about what you mean by potential threats? So while you answer that, I have another question here. Because of my resilience, I'm away from my family, and when my family needed me more, as both children are for board exams, easy to practice, the results are tough in the world. Look, this is how I feel, that partners in a family must be there for each other. The other partner does not even have to ask, does not even have to request. So it is my moral responsibility to stand by my wife, and that is an undeniable fact, because that brings me this huge contentment that I contributed towards the family's welfare. It gives me good night's sleep. If I'm not going to do that, I'm going to end up being a diabetic, because my conscience is going to eat into my muscles, into my tissue, that I need to be there and I'm not being there. So you have to be there for the family. This is a moral responsibility. If there are dire consequences that your family does not have the wherewithal to have 2 square meals and you have to be away from the family to fend for them, to send money, like many of the daily wage laborers do, that's a different matter. It's adversity at its peak. It's how karma is working out. But if you don't have that kind of a situation, then I think it's necessary for you to stand by the family. This is, otherwise, yes, you are creating karma. Well, I didn't get an answer to, for example, people who mug on the road, loved one cheating you. People who mug on the road, loved one cheating you. Okay. I think after the occasion that I should have seen this coming. People who mug on the road. Okay, you have to travel at a time. You see, these times are not safe, unfortunately. That people take women to be weak, and men who do not have self-respect, do not have a self-worth, the one way that they want to demonstrate that they are more powerful is by just falling over women. This is something that people do. Mugging on the road is one such act where the people who lack the courage to stand up for themselves find it absolutely okay to mug others on the road. Loved ones cheating you, why would anyone want to cheat you? The only reason is that you feel deficient. You feel denied, which is why you give yourself the right to lie to others and to cheat to others. And you should have seen this coming. No, not possible. At times you may not see this coming, but it's a lesson definitely for you to be more cautious. But sometimes we have to go through experiences that bring us the learning that we couldn't have learned otherwise. There are different ways of learning. This is one way. So don't beat yourself for that. But yes, now I hope you have learned the lessons. I hope you're stronger now. And also you can, the two things that I look at, you know, if you want to be stronger, the two ways of being stronger, one is to be mentally so strong. So you keep chanting, so you become mentally so strong, you become mentally so powerful that when you have to go through some place, you don't have to necessarily believe that something horrible is going to happen. Instead, we just use that power of concentration to pray to the God, to pray to God, whatever name or form of God that you're praying to provide to everything that is needed for you to be protected. And that'll happen. Okay? And the same thing, whenever you're having a conversation with anybody, always pray to God. Fill this person's heart with your love. Do that. It works. So the same way, you can ask for God to fill this environment with love, with divine love. When environment is filled with divine love, nobody would want to cheat. They all will be overcome with love. Something will happen that will make them overcome with love. Something that you speak would be the trigger for them to probably break down and share with you what they're going through. So never even for a moment think that these are potential threats that are coming. Prayer has got a very, very strong way towards betterment. The other way of being strong is, of course, physically strong, where you take responsibility for your life. I would prefer God to take responsibility of my life. And so I would build in all the concentration that I require to pray to him, so that one prayer and it manifests. That's the way I would like to do it. Is that clear? All right. So thank you so much for today's session. I hope you have understood what it means to be resilient. It's not about winning. It's not about fighting. It's not about overcoming anything. It's just to stand your ground. Stand your ground. Do not be affected by anything that's happening around you. Nothing can touch you when you are established in your own self. With this, I end the session. Thank you for being here today to have me share with you today's learnings. Have a beautiful weekend and have a beautiful week ahead. Let's connect again next weekend. Until then,